I want to try something a little bit different with you today. I'm going to give an instruction and ask you to follow that for a brief period of time. Then we'll talk about that. But here's what I'd like to do. I want to ask you to just sit still and listen. As you think about that time, I wonder what you heard. I heard the awesome sounds of children cooing and giggling and laughing. I heard some rustling of papers. I heard a little bit of a building creak. Now, I knew what I was doing, but I wonder what thoughts you had. I wonder if you thought, I wonder how long this is going to go on. Or I wonder what the person next to me is thinking. Any number of things. But I wonder, and you don't have to raise your hand, wonder if anybody heard God's voice. In the story today, that's what's going on. And that's really the focus of our whole series that we're in right now, the idea of saying, here I am, responding to God. Before that happens, remember the first word in our subtitle is listening. It's listening, available, ready to go. But the first thing we have to do is listen. What is it that God wants? What is it that God is saying? Where is it that God would have me go? Or what is it that God would have me do? To have any idea about that, the first thing we have to do is listen. Today's story about Samuel is all about listening to God. And I'm going to take a little bit different tact going through it rather than a couple of main points. I want to list 10 phrases out of this passage as thoughts of what it means to listen to God. And my hope is that out of that story about this young boy thousands of years ago, you and I can learn something about how it is that we can and better can listen to God. I'm going to be calling out verse numbers, so this would be a good one to pull out the Bible. They're not going to be on the screen. Well, they will be on the screen. But if you want to follow along the story, you might want to open the Bible in the chair in front of you. But 10 thoughts. I want to start, and we can count them together, but number one comes from verse 1, and it is this statement. Word from the Lord was rare in those days. Right? Now, this is the Bible. We think about, oh, God shows up all over the place, and his voice booms out, and bushes catch on fire and aren't consumed, and angels speak, and all this happens. But in this time period, in this story, word from the Lord was rare. And that's a point of connection with us. Because at least in my experience, I haven't heard God's audible voice. I have not seen burning bushes. I haven't met any angels. I would say for us, that kind of word from the Lord is rare. And I appreciate that detail. Didn't have to be in there, but I appreciate that because it makes the story realistic and more modern to us. Because it means that we may not necessarily be listening out for an out loud voice. But Scripture does say that God still speaks, so we have to figure out, well, what does that mean? If I can listen at all, what is it that I listen to? How do I hear God's voice? Number two, lessons on listening. This is from verse 5. So Samuel heard his name called, and he ran to Eli. That was his mentor. He was the priest in the temple, and his mother had left him there to grow up and be taught in the temple. Samuel ran to Eli. It's a good thing to do. And he said, here I am. I heard my name. You must have called me. So in a little bit of contradiction, perhaps, to what I just said, God did call his name. Or perhaps Samuel heard in his spirit, heard God's voice nudge him. We don't know if it was out loud or not, but he heard a voice. But he ran to Eli. That makes the most sense. The only other person in the building, my mentor, he probably called me and wanted me to do something. So as a point of connection for us, it makes me ask and think, well, what would I do if I thought God was calling my name? Right? If I was lying there in bed with my eyes closed and I thought I heard a voice, Robert, Robert. Well, my first thought would probably be, Heather, did you call me? Right? Or if not her or one of the kids, another voice I hear a lot of times in my head is my father's voice. If I'm trying to think, what is it I should do in this situation or this over here, a lot of times I'll hear those words of advice from years and years of growing up. My dad had certain sayings and things he would say, and I would hear his voice saying that. You know, give 110% effort, or it's important to be honest and true, or no such thing as a free lunch, even though in 2 weeks we're going to have a free lunch for the congregation. All those kind of things. I'm sure you have a parent or grandparent or someone who, you know, you hear their voice, their advice kind of ring through your head. And again, it's not an audible voice, but it comes to mind when you face a certain kind of situation. So perfectly reasonable. Samuel heard his voice, and so he went to Eli. Who else would be calling me? I'll go check with Eli. Number three, in verses 6, and then again in verse 8, he heard it again, and another time. And all three times, Samuel went to Eli and said, did you call me? Here's my experience. I do think God has, not with an audible voice, but has led me, nudged me, spoken to me at various points in my life. Like, Robert, this is a good and godly, a faithful thing to do, or this is not. But I will admit to, and I think this is human, to many times me not thinking it was God or attributing it to God or looking for some other explanation for why I'm feeling this nudging or hearing this voice. And the thing is, it's easy if we don't recognize God's voice over time to start to tune it out. Because there's certainly a lot more appealing voices that I hear in my head. A lot of them come from TV, from commercials of what I should do, who I should be, what I should achieve. Right? It's easy if we don't listen to God to start to tune what the Bible in one place calls a still small voice. There are other times that God is more obvious than that, but it's easy to tune out the voice of God. It's also easy to kind of become numb to spiritual things. If I'm not cultivating faith and seeking God and listening to God, it's easy just to kind of wrap that up and push it away. And then all the voices I'm hearing, all the words I'm hearing are from other sources. So we'll see what happened with Samuel. Point number four, as an interlude, though, is that we're told in verse 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I mean, he was growing up in the temple and was probably learning some of the ritual, but at this point in his young life, he wouldn't have known to think, well, maybe that's God. Not sure he would anyway, but we're told specifically he did not yet know the Lord. And I think that's a reasonable excuse. But Eli will teach him. Eli takes advantage of this to teach him. So I think about me. I think about us. If we're not tuned into, well, God may be involved in this world and in my life and the things I do, it's easy as we feel nudged or led or directed to do something. There's a number of other explanations that's easy to attribute to that. If we do not yet know the Lord, is God's voice the same thing as my conscience? Is God's voice a psychological construct to help me deal with conflicting emotions or psychological damage? Is God's voice whatever the church says it is? Right? All of those things have been substituted for or attributed to God's voice. But Scripture says, the Bible says, that God has spoken in history and continues to speak. For example, sending Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, to live and move and walk around the world, to teach us about God, to tell us what God is like, what God wants. Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, is all God speaking. All that's been recorded and written down. So this is God's written voice, God's written word for us. This also says that God's Spirit, which again doesn't speak in audible words, but speaks God's Spirit to our spirit. God's Spirit is moving on the earth. So that's at least the testimony of what the Bible says about God, is that God does speak. Again, maybe not in an audible voice or a burning bush, but in very tangible ways. So all that to say, if we're going to try to listen to God, to God's voice, let's make sure we listen in the right way, that we tune in not to my conscience or my dad's voice, however good or bad that might have been, but what is it that God's Spirit would be saying to me? Well, that's exactly the advice that Eli gave to him. So number five, Down in verse 10, Eli wisely realized something's going on here. I'm sure not calling his name. And the boy seems to be hearing something. So Eli told him, next time you hear the voice, say this. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Right? So inviting God to say more and indicating, your servant is listening. I'm ready to hear and to respond, to listen. I think that gives us some cues of how we're to listen. It's with humility. It's with open ears. I think about numerous mission trips I've been on with the youth. I don't know about them. I think for some of them, this is the lesson. But for me, right, when we set cell phones aside and computers and TV and we go to another country where all that is absent, one of the great lessons I learn, in addition to whatever work we may be doing with other people, one of the things I learn is how much distraction there is in my daily life and how loud and full and constant it is. Wouldn't it be hard to hear God's still, small voice? I even sometimes am convicted about church, right? Where'd the bulletin go? Today is a super example. I mean, I did extra work to fit it all on one sheet of paper. It is jam-packed with good stuff, right? We're singing, we're baptizing, we're praying, we're having communion, we're having announcements that are part of our life together, sermon. It's jam-packed. I had the thought, and I'm convicted of this from time to time, do we ever just, in worship, sit still and listen? God's followers, there's stories of that. Jesus went to be still and sit and listen to God. And he was more tuned in. I mean, he was God, but he went and had time alone, time to be silent before the Lord. So that little 30-second exercise at the beginning of the sermon, probably need more of that throughout the service. So, right, we've sung something rich. Sit with that for a minute, right? We have opportunity when we're having communion sometimes just to sit and reflect on the meaning of the bread and the juice as the rest of the room is served. But all of that, I appreciate Eli's wise advice to make space, to listen well, and in humility. Number 6, from verse 11, Samuel listens and God does speak. Doesn't really tell us the mechanics of that, but Samuel gets the message. I'm about to do a thing. And I never noticed this before, but I got tickled when Angela was reading. This is a both ears tingle message, right? Not just a one ear tingle. But it said, I'm gonna do a thing that will make both ears tingle in my people. Mitzah, something going on. And here's the thing. In this case, the thing that God wanted Samuel to do was to speak a message of rebuke to Eli, his mentor, the priest. In this series, it's called Here I Am. That's all predicated on the idea that God does have something to say and does have something to do. And we're trying to tune into that. That God is constantly saying, behold, I'm about to do a thing. And I want you to be a part of that with me. That's the presumption, because that's throughout Scripture. God was doing things and inviting those who would listen, those who would follow, to be a part of it. And that is ongoing. So that's our presumption, that God is still at work in the world. God is still doing a thing. And I believe God has something for each of us to hear. So number 7, you can imagine, Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision because it was rebuking Eli, an adult, his mentor, the priest. And what the message was, if you missed it going in the story, God was judging Eli for being a poor father to his sons. His two sons, who were also priests, were evil, and God had rendered a judgment on Eli's children and descendants. And that's what God told Samuel to say to Eli. So clearly, I would have been hesitant. I imagine you would have been hesitant. Samuel was afraid. But what does that have to do with us? Simple. I think sometimes the thing that God asks us to do, it doesn't have to be that big. It could be a small thing, but it's something that's intimidating to us, something that we're fearful of. Like, I couldn't possibly do that. And yet, Eli's the one who helps us through that. Of all people, the one who is going to be on the receiving end of this rebuke, number 8, Eli doesn't yet know what the message is, but he says to Samuel, go ahead and speak what you need to speak, because God is the Lord. Let him do what's right in his eyes, what's good. In other words, God is good. Whatever it is that he's asked you to do, Samuel, do it. Because it's what Megan was talking about in the children's sermon. Generally, rules are not to curse our children or ruin their day or make their childhood miserable. God's rules for us are not for that purpose. It's to keep us safe. It's to bless us. It's for good. And Eli said, if God has a message for you, declare it. Because whatever it is, however hard it is to hear, it is for good. Because God is good. So go for it. I would say for you and for me, whatever it is that God is nudging you to do, first listen well, make sure it is from God. That's not some other voice. But if it's from God, it's good. And if you need to test that out, do that with some folks. Bounce it off of them. Test it off of Scripture. Make sure it's the right message from God. But if it is true, if it's from God, it's for good. And take courage from that. Number 9, kind of wrapping up the story, in verse 19, we're told that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Samuel continued to listen to God. He became the last great judge of Israel. And he ushered in the age of kings. He was the one that would anoint the first kings of Israel, first Saul and then David. And the story says that the Lord was with him. Presumably, because Samuel continued to listen in that posture of humility and obedience. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Here I am. I'm listening. I'm available. I'm ready to go. And then number 10, from that same verse, God let none of Samuel's words fail or fall, either way. God gave Samuel power to do what he needed to do. Hard message, hard audience, whatever the challenge, God sustained him as he was obedient and faithful. And I believe that's a word of encouragement for us. God likely is asking each of us and us together as a church to step outside our comfort zone. But if it's from God, if it's of God, it's good. And God will give us the oomph to do it, right? Can be fearful to change, to step out of the box, to do something different. But God not only speaks, God also empowers his people. So lastly, what does God want of me? One of my favorite things in the Bible, I know I say that a lot, I have a lot of favorite things in the Bible, is the Shema. That's a Hebrew word. It's in Deuteronomy 6. It's the first word of Deuteronomy 6. It says, Shema Israel. The word Shema means listen, listen. We often talk about hearing something, but it's easy for stuff just to pass by, right? The Hebrew word had a mixture of hear and obey. And the best way to kind of capture that in English is listen. If you're really listening, you're going to do something with what you hear. So the Shema is this. And this should sound familiar because Jesus quotes it later. The Shema, the listen, Israel, here's a message from God, is listen. The Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's the Shema. That was God's message to his people, right? Not an audible voice, but written scripture to them. So what does God want of us? Generally, you can't go wrong with the Shema. Love God with all you are and all you've got, right? Be sure what voice you're listening to. Here's some takeaways from today. Be clear on what God's word is. If you feel like God is asking you to go buy a new certain kind of Dodge truck, test that out with some friends. Look for it in Scripture. I know there's the whole thing about the disciples were all in one accord, but that doesn't mean you should go buy a Honda, right? So always, it's always good to test out what you're hearing. So be clear on what God's word is. Be humble and quiet. Listen, or speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I want to hear. I want to obey. I want to follow through. Be strong and courageous. God's work is not always safe or easy. I would go so far as to say it's rarely safe or easy. But God doesn't just dispense a mission and say, you're on your own, right? God says, here's your mission. And by the way, I'm coming with you. More than that, here's your mission. I'm going in front of you. I'm going with you. I'm going behind you. And I'm sustaining you, right? God can do all that because he's God. And be encouraged. God is with you. I'm excited about this season in our church life together and in this message of here I am. The young boy Samuel demonstrated for us in today's story what that might look like. But I want us to connect those dots so that we can say to God, however it is that you speak to me, Lord, whether it's a voice in my spirit or your word or other Christians in my life, help me listen. Help me not just hear, but help me take it in and listen. I want to be listening to you. I want to be available to you, God, and I want to be ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us and with Samuel. We would say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Help us to humbly seek you out and tune into your voice and push aside distractions and make space to listen well. And then, Lord, grant us the courage to say, here I am, to whatever it is you might be asking us to do, individually, together as a church, small, large, in between. We thank you that you are active and alive in this world and in this church, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.